Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So, ordinary people, extraordinary God. Today, this particular message in the series is called Ordinary John, Extraordinary God, because we're looking at the life of a very ordinary guy named John the Baptist. We're looking at Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. So, we're specifically looking at this ordinary guy, John the Baptist, and his role in God's kingdom. And I'm hoping that you get the idea, like throughout this entire series, it's good for us to be ordinary. God likes ordinary people, and he uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Ordinary people in the hands of God, surrendered to God, submitted to him, can do extraordinary things. So we're going to read this scripture because I just want you to make sure that you get the specific text for today. So John 3, 1 to 12, I'm going to read it in the ESV, English Standard Version. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord. I think that, you know, some of you might have already heard that John the Baptist is actually a cousin of Jesus. So he had an ordinary background. John the Baptist was born to older, kind of unknown parents. He wasn't from wealth or royalty. You know, his parents, Elizabeth and Zachariah, they were described as blameless and righteous, but they were also childless and beyond childbearing years, okay? And one day, while he was performing his priestly duties in the temple, Zachariah, he was confronted by an angel of God who was like, do not be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a son, and you are to call him John. Now, here's what the angel tells him about John. He says, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Can you imagine hearing that spoken over your child, that this one will bring joy and delight to you? And so even before John the Baptist was born, he was designated by God to be a joy and to lead the way to Jesus. So his birth, his life, it was all a miracle. It was totally divine. And what happened was John had a season of growth and spiritual maturity before his ministry launched. He went out into the wilderness. He was a wilderness dweller. Okay, I think this is important to understand, that John was ordinary, yes, but I would almost say he was like more of an outcast even than ordinary. I wouldn't say that John fit in. So I have a couple of slides, and I'm wondering if you could look at those, Scott. This is from the Chosen movie. So this is just to give you a picture of what John the Baptist might have looked like. So John the Baptist on the left, Jesus on the right. Go to the next slide. And then John the Baptist, I just feel like you can see him in this photo because he's the one with the wild hair, with the camel skin. And you can just see how, even in the midst of the crowd of Jesus and his disciples, he kind of stands out as kind of the wild one. And then the next slide shows what he ate. So it was locusts and honey. And the point of this is really to emphasize that John was a simple guy. He lived off the land. He wasn't looking for handouts from anybody. He took what he could get. So he was in the wilderness. He found honey. It would be like us finding berries or, you know, whatever, grabbing a fruit off a tree. You know, like he found something that he could eat to survive on, and that's what he did, okay? And I think that kind of just that whole picture of how he dressed and how he looked, it kind of shows us by the world standards kind of that he was unimpressive, I would say. He was kind of just, like I said, ordinary, but almost like even less than ordinary. Just kind of like not really even fitting in with all of the people in the villages and stuff like that. So a guy, imagine, that's hanging out in the wilderness, kind of off by himself for quite a while. You know, you can get a little strange as you're hanging out alone for years on end. I've also watched some of these reality shows where, like, they put people alone in the middle of a faraway place like Alaska, and they're just, like, stuck there all by themselves for months, and they just kind of get a little strange. They're talking to themselves. They're just, you know, like you're in your own head. It's a little weird. So I imagine John had a sort of ordinary lifestyle, but I would say he was even just more off on his own, doing his own thing, okay? So I hope that you're seeing that this guy is not overly impressive. He's not doing anything overly impressive with his lifestyle, and he didn't have any special position, all right? He was just ordinary. He didn't have a title. He was not a priest. He wasn't aligned with the Pharisees or the Sadducees, so there wasn't like some sort of like religious authority that he had for his time for him to be the one to say, prepare the way of the Lord, okay? This is important to know about him. Just an ordinary kind of guy. I think it's also important to notice here that Scripture says that even John doubted. All right, so originally, when John's mother Elizabeth was pregnant with him and Mary was pregnant with Jesus, these two cousins, they hang out, they meet each other, they greet each other. And Scripture says that John the Baptist literally leapt inside his mother's womb when Mary and Elizabeth were greeting each other. And what that says to us is that this unborn child, even inside the womb, John the Baptist recognized Jesus. All right. And that is why scripture specifically tells us that, is to highlight, like, this unborn baby recognized that he was in the presence of the Lord. Okay. But even with that, and even with, the clear call of God on his life, okay, to prepare the way of the Messiah, it does say in Matthew 11, 2-3, that there was a little bit of doubt. Like, he said, John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ. He sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" He says, "Are you it?" So even with all that had happened, he needs to ask that question. He's like, I'm going to say he's an ordinary person, because it's very ordinary of us to struggle sometimes with our doubts, even when we have seen the truth, even when we have encountered God in powerful ways in our lives. I think it's still very possible for us as human beings to need to be reminded of who God is and to be reminded of his power in our lives. And so Jesus is funny, though. He doesn't actually answer yes or no, but in true kind of teacher style, he says, "Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So he tells them, like, look at the fruit, right? And in Matthew 3, verse 10, John says, "Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Essentially, anything that is not of God is going to go away. It's not going to last. And Jesus is saying, look at the fruit of what I have come to do. Look at the fruit of my ministry and of my time here on earth. Tell him, just remind him of what you have seen and what you've heard and what you've experienced. And that in and of itself was the answer, right? That the blind see, the deaf hear. Like, there's people that are being saved. Like, this is the Messiah. So even Jesus said something, though, about John the Baptist, this ordinary kind of guy, in Matthew 11:11. Jesus says, "Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." And so I think it wasn't that John the Baptist was a perfect guy, but it was that he was obedient to God, and he responded to what God had put in his heart and to the purpose that he had, and he didn't hold back. And he didn't worry about what people thought of him, and he didn't pretend to be something that he was not. He came honestly to people, and he said, "Here's what I'm here to do. I'm here to prepare the way, and I'm pointing you to somebody that's even greater than me," which is very, very powerful, because a lot of times we try to gather up followers for ourselves, but John the Baptist gathered people for Jesus. Like, he started to prepare for the ministry that Jesus was about to do. And it was a very, very powerful thing. I think that, you know, most of us look at our lives and we kind of downplay our potential in God's kingdom, or our significance in God's kingdom. We can downplay it. And there's scripture that talks about us as being the clay and Jesus being the potter. right? That the idea is the lump of clay is nothing really. It is ordinary. There's nothing special about it. But when the potter does his thing, it becomes this beautiful pot. It becomes a vessel to be used for something great. It could hold oil. It could hold water. There's a lot of different uses for pots, right? Clay pots. And they're going to look different. They're not the same, right? But they're all in the hands of the potter. When we allow the potter to mold us and shape us, then they become something like one of a kind and extraordinary and used for great purposes. I was thinking, as I was reflecting on John the Baptist's life, I was thinking about that famous story about, it was like a world-class violinist, and he once played this old, worn-out violin. And it was like when the master violinist picked up the violin, this old violin that looked worthless and useless, suddenly like this amazing music came out of it. And everybody was like blown away, like, what on earth? And so it's like in the hands of God, in the hands of God, whatever is the ordinary thing about your life, it can be used for extraordinary things. And I'm going to say this, maybe you don't even want to be extraordinary. How about that? Has that crossed your mind? Maybe some of us don't want to be extraordinary. I'm going to tell you guys a funny, okay. Don't tell Zoe that I told you this, but Zoe had a dream last week. She called it her worst nightmare. She said, it was my worst nightmare come true. I said, she says, and by the way, we were watching Full House as a family, and in Full House, there's this thing where the uncle gets really famous as a musician, and then he has no time for his family. Okay, so just preface it with this. She had a dream that kind of inspired, or she had a show that inspired this dream. But she said, my worst nightmare is that Daddy will become really, really famous and never have time for any of us. And it's just my worst nightmare. And it came true in my dream. I said, Zoe, you've been worried about Daddy becoming famous and not having time for us? Like, what are you talking about? I started almost laughing at her because I just thought that was kind of like, you know, like, Matt's not trying to be famous for anything. And I just feel like we're really happy with how we are, and we're happy not being famous. And the idea that that Zoe's losing any sleep over it or thinking about it, I was like, don't worry, Zoe. We are all safe. Like, we're very, very good. We're good. I think a lot of us don't really want to be too extraordinary or too famous. Okay. So I hear that as I'm even talking this morning, I'm hearing that. Okay, but you were made by God on purpose for his purpose. And as long as you are obedient to God and are doing with your life what God wants you to do and honoring him in your marriage, with your children, with the way that you study God's word, with the way that you care about your neighbor, with the, you know, as long as you are doing the things that God has given you to do, then that is an extraordinary God doing miracles in and through your life. And I'm telling you, that is not you being extraordinary. That is God's extraordinary work in our lives. And we were created for that. We were each and every one of us created for that. And if you're not doing that, then you're going to have this hole in your life. You're going to be missing it because you're just living for yourself. And we were not just made to live for ourselves. I think John the Baptist probably would have been happy just staying in the wilderness, hanging out with, I mean, I don't even know what he was doing in the wilderness, just walking around, preparing himself for ministry. But you know, I'm betting that this guy was probably a little bit of a loner, probably a little bit of an introvert. I don't know. And this guy, though, he knew what he was supposed to do, and he felt strong conviction about it. So he went out, and he did it. He said the thing that God told him to say. He did the things that God told him to do. And I think it's also very interesting to note that John the Baptist was kind of rough around the edges, right? Remember how I said, like, the wild hair and the camel skin? And so he was a little bit rough, and he was probably kind of aggressive, almost, the way that he spoke. I don't know. To me, it sounds kind of aggressive when he's like, "You brood of vipers, you know, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Like, I don't know. To me, it sounds kind of aggressive. I don't know how the people of his day received it. But if you were saying that to me now, I'd be like, okay, like, all right. So he was kind of rough. I think that Jesus, when he started his ministry, I think Jesus spoke with a lot of gentleness and kindness, and he was very soft. And we know that Jesus was without sin. He was perfect, right? But it's very interesting that at times the crowds loved both John and Jesus. And then at times, at a certain time, the crowds turned on both John and Jesus. And they both ended up, right, thrown into prison and killed. And so I think, I don't know, I'm just going to say this, because one of the reasons why I think sometimes we hesitate to do certain things for God is because we're afraid of how it might be received by people. Because I'm not as polished as that person, and I might not say it right. And then I might have to apologize because I said it wrong and I don't want to offend them. You know what? The truth of it is, the gospel is going to offend some people. It will. The truth of God and his love and his grace, the fact that we're sinners that need to be saved, it will be offensive to us until our eyes are opened and we see that we need a savior. And then it's not offensive at all. And then suddenly it's just like a lifeline. It's like grace, and we're excited about it, right? But I think that we need to be kind of freed. And for me, John the Baptist does this for me. He frees me from the fear of being misunderstood or doing it wrong or saying it wrong or presenting it wrong or looking wrong. Because what it says is, like, this guy, like, goes out of the scripture, goes out of its way to kind of emphasize that this guy was a little bit on the wild side, and that he ate differently than everybody else, the locusts and wild honey and all that kind of stuff, living off the land. And it's just like, I don't know, for me, that kind of releases me from the idea that I have to be just like somebody else, or that I have to do it perfectly in order for it to be effective for God's kingdom and doing what God has asked me to do. And it doesn't have to necessarily be how everybody else expects it to be, or look the same as how everybody else does it. I think what we're supposed to do is give God what we have. And that is what he's asking of us. That's why the story of the widow giving her mite, the widow giving a couple of pennies in the offering, Jesus was saying, you know, like, there was a rich guy with millions of dollars who gives $1 in the offering. And then there's this woman that only has 3 pennies left, and she puts all of that in the offering. He's saying what he values is us giving what we have, giving our whole self to him, saying, God, I'm willing to give you everything. It's all yours in the first place because you gave it to me. And so then I'm just returning back to you what's already yours. And then it becomes almost I don't know. I think it almost becomes this competition for who can, you can't outgive God, but you know, you keep giving and then God keeps blessing and then you keep giving and God keeps blessing and he keeps healing you and he keeps, you know, shaping you and transforming you, and your life becomes what it was intended to be, which is you're intended to be a vessel for God's glory. And we are all, Scripture says we have these treasures in jars of clay. Like, we are made for the Lord, and we were made to be a blessing to his people and to those that don't know Jesus yet. This is what John the Baptist did. He said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Like get ready, Jesus is coming. And so there's other ways that you can do that. There's other ways that you can do that, where you can find somebody and encourage them and say, you know what? God's made a difference in my life. I think he wants to make a difference in your life too. And then they can ask you questions, and you don't have to have all the answers. And you could say, that's a very good question. I wonder how we can think about that together. Let's talk about that. Let's maybe look up a scripture verse together. Or, what do you think about that? Jesus often took a question from somebody and then gave a question back. You don't necessarily have to give an answer back. You could give a question back to somebody and say, I don't know. Let's think about that. And then suddenly, now you as an ordinary person, you don't have to feel insecure about that. You get to thrive and flourish in that. That gets to actually be your strength, is that you're just being obedient to God and you're allowing him to do something through you. And you're recognizing that, yeah, everywhere that I go, I'm representing Jesus. Whether it's at my job, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's, you know, on a neighborhood walk, like all of these things are opportunities for us. So there's just the three things I want to kind of encourage us with today as we go. Number one is believe that God can work through you. I'm hoping you leave today convinced, believing that God can work through you. And not only that he can, but that he really, really wants to. That you don't need to have it all together or look impressive. God just likes all of us people, us ordinary people that he created, to carry his truth. To carry his truth. So we're going to ask him today. We're going to ask him tomorrow. Lord, how do you want to use me right where I am? Don't ask God to use you somewhere else. Ask him to use you right where you're already at. And then choose faithfulness in small things. Those daily habits, I talk about this a lot because it's really important. It's what shapes us. The daily habit of prayer, integrity, serving others. It doesn't get a lot of attention. Other people don't notice, but those small choices over time have a really big impact. And God multiplies steady obedience as we continue to make those little choices that nobody else knows about, to be obedient to him. And then the third one is live to make Jesus known. I really hope you walk away from today with a desire to live to make Jesus known. Not to point people to yourself, not to get people to like you, not so that you can fit in better, but that your purpose would be to point other people to Jesus. In your conversations, in your relationships, whatever it is, like to find ways to point people back to Jesus. And I'm saying that you can do this without being all preachy at somebody and being like, thus saith the Lord. God said. No. I don't think people will hear that very well. I think that that would be like probably not very helpful. But to just point people back to, I have such peace in my heart now. Or I've been learning how to have peace in my heart because this has happened and that has happened. And I went through this struggle and this is how God helped me. All right?
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.